The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
If you're drinking a beverage right now, please spit it out immediately.
We have reason to believe someone threw his gum in it when you weren't looking.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Wow, that's serious, folks. I hope you take Todd's admonition to heart. He's just such a great guy, all these free tips. Today we've got a special guest, not like all those other days where we speak to these plebeian characters. They have so little to say, really vulgar American accents. We've gone not quite to the ends of the earth, but we've gone across the ocean to what I like to call England to find the great Peter Hitchens, who is on the line with me now. Peter, welcome to the program.
It's, as always, a complete and unmitigated delight to be there.
I always have to say this, and you have to forgive me, but many Americans who don't know you, Peter Hitchens, I would say principally they would know you as the younger brother of the late Christopher Hitchens, who was and remains quite famous in the United States, principally for his advocacy for the atheist cause. You, Peter Hitchens, are a Christian and identify as such. You and your brother seem to be on different sides of many different views. You are basically conservative. He was basically liberal in the American sense of those terms, although he took a stand for the he was for the Iraq War. You were against the Iraq War, so it's rather complicated. But in any sense,
it's not complicated at all. I mean, he believed in impossible things, such as weapons of mass destruction, and I believe in possible things, such as the existence of God.
Wow, that sounds like you had that written
down. It poses as being tremendously rational and free of prejudice and utterly scientific and so on and so forth, but quite often the arrival of atheism portends the widespread beliefs in all kinds of nonsensical things. And I say my late brother's strong advocacy of the invasion of Iraq, possibly the most catastrophic foreign policy decision of the whole last century, does suggest that not believing in God doesn't necessarily make you totally and utterly rational and brilliant.
Well, that's...
I only mention it. Also, by the way, I think it's time in our little exchanges that you began to suspect that maybe some Americans might have heard of me as such rather than as somebody else's brother. I mean, you've had me on here so many times.
No. The people who listen to this program regularly, of course, by now know who you are. But I have this impossible belief of my own. I'd like to think that we're attracting new viewers, Peter, if you don't
mind. Well,
perhaps
they're being attracted by the fact that they're hoping I'll be on.
Indeed, that
could
be the case.
Well, there you are. In that case, they won't have any trouble.
That could be the case.
I think it's time I came out as myself.
As yourself? Well, really, I was on the fence today in terms of how to introduce you. So we are tracking. I was thinking myself as I said that probably this is the last time I need to do so. But you're a little bit ahead of me.
I'm always ahead of you.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are. And I want to say that, but just to be clear, you are in fact the younger brother of the late Christopher Hitchens. Just so people are not misunderstanding that you are in fact that
person.
But
I have other features and characteristics apart.
And
that.
What... And what,
so, which are even,
and what would
even
they,
more interesting.
One, what would they be, Peter, since you're British and you Brits find it nearly impossible to toot your own horn? I'd like to see you squirm for a minute and twist in the wind as you tell us why we should know you.
Oh, in the modern world, no. There's no point in sticking to these things I was taught as a child about modesty and not blowing your own trumpet.
Good.
You have to do it. Now, I'm the author of several books, most notably The Abolition of Britain, a classic of its time, which both described and predicted the decay and gradual disappearance of my own nation. A fine follow-up book called The Abolition of Liberty, about how societies which don't actually maintain their laws against real crime and misdoings quite rapidly become unfree in other ways. An interesting volume called The Rage Against God, which deals with the strange connection between radical politics and hatred of theism, and an exploration of the very, very strange collapse of old-fashioned right-left politics originally called The Broken Compass. And I've also published a demolition of the ludicrous idea so frequently peddled by propagandists and idiots, often the same persons, that there is a war on drugs. A book called The War We Never Fought. The title is a bit of a giveaway. There has been no such war. And I'm about to publish The Phony Victory, a debunking of some of the ludicrous reverence accorded to the Second World War, as it was an entirely good and wonderful occasion in which the world got together to save liberal principles and do all kinds of other wonderful things, when in fact it was nothing of the kind. That'll be out in September. I can thoroughly recommend it to anybody who doesn't wish to remain complacent about its historical understanding. That'll do for starters. I mean, I could have all kinds of other things. I've been a Fleet Street journalist for more than 40 years, covering everything from education, labor affairs, diplomacy, and defense to the Soviet Union and the United States. And I've been a national newspaper columnist in Britain for many years, and I've traveled to and reported from, I think, 57 countries at the last count. I hope that'll do.
I never dreamt.
Pick up the trumpet again if you want some more.
I never dreamt that you would be so complete and so voluble in your self encomia, and I am embarrassed not just for you but for your countrymen. Thank you very much.
That's now, okay, but there's no need to be embarrassed.
Let's just continue by starting with what you just mentioned, this book about what is it, the victory you mentioned?
The Phony Victory.
Okay, now
you've heard of the Phony War.
When you said, I've not heard of the Phony War, no.
Well, the Phony War actually was a term invented by an American senator, Senator Borah, in the period between 1939 and the middle of 1940, when the Germans invaded France. And the war suddenly became more serious. There was a strange period between September 1940 and the spring of September 1939 and the spring of 1940, when, although they had declared war on Germany, and although the reason for their doing so, the ostensible reason for their doing so, was the German invasion of Poland, Britain and France did virtually nothing. And that many people said, what kind of war is this? And the answer came back, it's a phony war. And it got that name, spelled differently in the U.S. In the U.S., phony has no E, and in Britain it has an E. But it got that name. The French had another name for it, the Drôle de Guerre. And the Germans called it the Sitzkrieg, the sitting down war. But it was a very strange period. And the odd thing is that we moved from that into this global conflict. And I wanted to explore how on earth we got from what in some ways was a phony war to a global conflict, and what the links were between the two events, a war that virtually nobody got involved in fighting at all.
And when will this book come out, or is it out?
22nd of September.
Oh, my goodness, it's virtually out.
It's coming
virtually
very
out, soon.
Yes, I signed off on the index a few days ago.
Wow.
And the procedures are pretty much there before somebody pushes the button.
Okay. Do you look, in the author photo, do you look pompous?
Tremendously.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because you had earlier, I was thinking, what shall we talk about? And in what you were saying a few minutes ago about the Iraq war as possibly being the most disastrous foreign policy decision of the last century, when you said last century, I think you meant this century.
Well, no, I was thinking of the period of 100 years.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, the reason...
There are other decisions which you could look at and say that they are bad.
Well, no. This is why they had mitigating factors. But this is
the problem with the Iraq War is that it was so huge and so wrong.
I'm not disputing your assessment. All I'm wanting to do is say that, unfortunately, we have 30 seconds left, and we're going to continue my sentence on the other side of the break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the Peter Hitchens. Some of you may have heard of his late brother, who is principally famous for being the brother of this man, my guest, Peter Hitchens. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
If you could interview God...
Why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
What would you ask?
So what do I tell the people who say you don't exist?
Tell them the world they see is just that. And sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Starring Academy Award nominee David Strathairn and Brenton Thwaites.
We try to be good people, try to please you, and we need some answers. And where did you go? Do you have any idea how that feels?
An Interview with God. A 3-night event in select theaters August 20th, 21st, and 22nd only. For theaters and tickets, go to aninterviewwithgod.com.
I just can't stop scratching. Struggling to get relief from itching due to your atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema? If so, you may qualify for a clinical study testing an investigational medication for the itch associated with atopic dermatitis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care at no charge. Call 1-844-777-4824, 1-844-777-ITCH, or visit advandastudy.com for more information on how to participate. Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Hey, Albin.
Yeah.
Do I look different?
Oh, you do.
Don't I look productive?
You look great.
And focused?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm sitting in this thing. You see this sleek
what
chair?
Is that?
It's called an X chair.
Yeah.
It's not just a chair. It's an X chair.
Wow.
And I guess, how do I describe it? It's basically, it really helps you. It's got sleek, modern design, but it kind of helps you to focus because it's customized for your exact body type.
That's
you get improved
great.
Posture, all the whole. It's actually a smart investment, really, which is why I have it here. And you know what? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? You can experience the X Chair for yourself by going to xchaireric.com. That's xchaireric.com. Or if you've got a phone, a lot of people have phones now, 1-844-4XCHAIR. That's 1-844-4XCHAIR. You get a 30-day, no questions asked, guarantee of complete satisfaction. It's on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchaireric.com to save $100. If you use Eric Footrest, the code Eric Footrest, they'll even throw in a free footrest. Code Eric Footrest. Go to xchaireric.com. Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas. If you listen to this program, you know that Mike Lindell has become a friend. He's the guy that invented MyPillow, and he wants me to tell you about a new offer for Eric Metaxas Show listeners. MyPillow is now offering 50% off the 4-pack, which includes 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. So if you're looking for a great night's sleep, and who isn't, now would be the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. And if you already know how great MyPillow is, why not get one for everybody you know? Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com. But make sure you use the promo code Eric or Metaxas. MyPillow, folks, is not just a pillow. It's MyPillow. Albin,
yes.
You know
oh, I love
that
it.
When I sleep,
yes.
I sleep like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
When I sleep, I'm fully unconscious. MyPillow can give you that level of unconsciousness. MyPillow.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Toyota.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's my job on the show to give you cultural whiplash by playing Lynyrd Skynyrd and then quickly shifting to Peter Hitchens across the pond. Peter, I want to ask you the second part of the sentence that I began a few moments ago. When you say that you think the Iraq War was possibly the worst foreign policy decision of the last century, I immediately thought, well, I would think that, and this was before I heard you talk about your new book about World War II, I think that the way we in the West allowed the Soviet Union to have what became the Soviet Union, the vast part of Eastern Europe for so many, many decades, that strikes me as probably at least equal to the mistake of the Iraq War, and it seems maybe you would agree.
Well, you're just outside the 100 years for that, because the actual decision which was taken by the German Foreign Ministry and the German High Command in 1917 to subsidize the Bolsheviks in their overthrow of Russia's first democratic government in October, old style, November, new style, 1917. Is just over 100 years ago, and that was indeed a catastrophic decision.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
how it came about.
Well,
people don't realize
you're quibbling. You're quibbling.
Let's
go to the end.
Let us piece of information.
Well, it's important, but you can go back to Adam and Eve. So let's stick to the idea that after the victory in World War II, there was a moment when we in the West had an opportunity. Some of our American generals thought we ought to fight the Soviet Union. We ought to do something. Instead, we effectively did, I think, one of the worst things in the history of history. And we gave the people in Eastern Europe over to the wicked totalitarian Soviet Union.
Well, you can put it like that if you want, but it's a complete. You're getting everything backwards historically.
Of course.
And the idea that the United States could have fought a battle against the victorious Red Army to repossess Eastern and Central Europe after 1945 seems to me to be far fetched. I doubt whether there would have been much popular support for extending a war that's already gone on for 6 years, or indeed the United States would have been able to fight it. But the decision to appease Stalin in return for his support had effectively been taken long before 1945. I mean, by the time that Roosevelt and Stalin met in Tehran, this was already fixed. And Yalta merely cemented it and made it final. And it wasn't really a matter of choice. The truth was that Stalin was there. He had conquered these countries. They were under his control. We couldn't remove him without a new and terrible war.
Okay.
The loss of Eastern Europe and Central Europe to Stalin was a consequence, not a policy.
Okay. Well, then, if
and
that's
all these
the case,
the whole thing is a consequence of the disgraceful action by the German Empire in 1917 of actually financing, subsidizing, and indeed carrying physically the Bolsheviks into Russia to overthrow the first democratic government Russia had ever had in the autumn of 1917. And this is people think there was some kind of spontaneous revolution in Russia in 1917. Absolutely not. It was a putsch financed and organized by German power in the most cynical action probably of foreign policy in any period of history. But it just falls outside the 100 years because it's, as I say, it's 101 years ago.
Well, let's pretend it's a year ago and now it doesn't. So I think I've never heard what you just said, so I'm startled to hear it, and then I'm startled that I've never heard it. How is it possible that I've never heard that the Germans played such a central role in creating what became the Soviet Union?
Well, it's partly because so much of the interpretation of history about the Soviet Union was dominated by pro-Soviet scholarship, and the academy was more or less in that direction. There's no question about it. If you read Richard Pipes's book on the Russian Revolution, there's no doubt at all. I think he brings that more than a ton of gold was supplied to the Bolsheviks by the Germans. But you must have heard of the sealed train.
Of the
everybody's
what?
Heard.
Of
everybody's the heard of the sealed train.
The sealed
in which Lenin and his party were carried across Germany by the German army. and then ferried across to Finland, so they could get to Petrograd and foment the revolution.
But why? So the question is, why did Germany do that?
Well, because they wanted to knock Russia out of the war, and they realized that the Bolsheviks were capable of doing so, and if they gave them enough help and money, and they did. The money was laundered through a fascinating character called Parvus Helphand. As I say, Richard Pipes is very good on this. The other aspects of it, of the direct German involvement, are their desire to overthrow at all costs the Russian government, which had succeeded the Tsars, are in Alan Tuzes' excellent book, which I recommend all the time, The Deluge, which alone in among books about the First World War dwells on the fascinating events on the Eastern Front. And the huge, which was actually the main area of operation for the Germans from start to finish and where they really cared about.
Well, let me then ask you, and I don't want to preempt our conversation a month from now about your new book, but tell us then, what is the thesis of the new book? Give us a small taste of it.
Well, it's that the Second World War has been used as a very long time as a kind of pattern. I call it Munich syndrome. If ever a politician in the West wants to start a war, or invade somebody, or overthrow somebody, the somebody they're playing the war against is always Hitler. And opposition to the war is always appeasement. And those who oppose the war are always compared to Neville Chamberlain in 1938. And the idea which lies behind this is an idea which I quote the heir to the British throne, the Prince of Wales, is a particularly neat and thorough expression of this idea, is that the Second World War was actually fought for idealistic reasons, that it was fought, for instance, to save the Jews of Europe, which it wasn't, and that also it was fought in general because we wanted to make the world a better place. And I don't think any of this stands up to examination. There's another thing from a British point of view which I find particularly, well, two things from a British point of view I find particularly worrying. One of them is the belief that the alliance with the United States is, again, some kind of fraternal love affair in which we hugged each other and marched shoulder to shoulder because we loved each other so much, when in fact there was a huge amount of cynicism in it. And Britain pretty much had to declare itself bankrupt and dispatched many, many tons of gold in secret convoys across the Atlantic and negotiable securities as well to North America before Lend-Lease was possible, because the Americans said, we're simply not going to support the British war effort until we know that they're broke. And Henry Morgenthau had to go before the Senate and say, look, as things stand, unless they get some more money from somewhere, they're going to have to stop fighting. And that was the point at which the Senate approved Lend-Lease. So it wasn't at all a shoulder-to-shoulder sentimental thing. It was very hard bargaining, and not surprising, because Britain, and this is another thing which most people don't know in Britain, they may know it in the U.S., we had welched on our debt to the United States for the First World War. I think it's worth about 34, which must be about something like $40 billion in current value, which we owed the United States at the end of the First World War, and we, in 1934, we stopped paying it. And we haven't paid it or paid any interest on it since. And there was a great deal of anger about this, not unreasonably, among American politicians, which is why there was very little appetite for helping the British Empire out of its troubles in 1939. And then finally, there's another thing which very much preoccupies me, which is that the decision by Britain, as a matter of policy, to bomb German civilians in their homes between about 1942 and 1945, killing very large numbers of people in horrible circumstances, I just don't think you can really do a thing like that and then say officers, hey, look, this was a really civilized war. The fact that the other side were barbarous in ways which even the Middle Ages can't show doesn't mean that your own lesser misdeeds are to be excused. I think the war needs to be desentimentalized. People should stop suggesting that somehow or other there is such a thing as a good war.
We're going to talk about this more when we have you on in a few weeks. We will talk about this at great length. But right now, we just have a few seconds left. Let's get to the most important issue of the day. What do you think about the Omarosa controversy?
I don't know enough about it. I can't conceivably have read the book yet.
Aren't you ashamed? I can't believe that nobody cares about World War II and Lend-Lease. We want to know, Do you think Omarosa is as wicked as everyone knows she is? Okay, we're out of time. Lucky for you, we're out of time. Folks, we're going to be right back with Peter Hitchens, and we will no longer talk about Omarosa ever again on this program.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. But I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
With over 20 years in business and over 20 million blinds sold, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Need some inspiration? Go to Blinds.com to see tons of customer photos. And right now, you save up to 35%. Plus, take an additional 5% off site-wide when you use promo code SHUTTERS. That's 35%. Plus, take an additional 5% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm talking to Peter Hitchens across the pond in merry old England. Peter, before we get into anything substantive, I just have to ask you, are you not tempted to boogie down to music like this?
I wouldn't know how to boogie down.
It's not pronounced boogie. It's boogie down. Boogie down.
I can't pronounce it either, and I'm not going to try.
So you're not even tempted to put on your boogie shoes?
What would they be?
They would be the shoes in which one would boogie. Okay.
And would they have any particular characteristics?
they're platform shoes, and they're 40 years old.
No, I don't think platform shoes are me.
Did you never wear platform shoes in the disco 70s, Peter?
No. I missed the disco 70s.
How did that happen?
I was busy on other things.
I guess you were. Okay. Let's go to something that you wrote just a few days ago about your conflict, let's put it, with Wikipedia. Please explain to my audience what the heck is happening with Wikipedia.
Well, I don't know how to begin this for anybody who hasn't ever tried to edit Wikipedia.
We have, and it's horrifying.
Right, okay. Well, this is the thing you should... If you haven't, what you will find out if you do... And it doesn't really matter what the subject is that every article in Wikipedia has a guardian who thinks it belongs to him or her. And sometimes it has actual squadrons of guardians who think it belongs to them. And if you make any alterations, however well-informed and well-intentioned they are, they will descend upon you. They will almost certainly wipe out your alterations. If you protest... they will then accuse you of edit warring, and they will bring in the strange Wikicrat organization of administrators who will punish you for doing so. And if you carry on doing this, then you will be punished by being silenced So you will not even be allowed to say anything in your own defence until you apologise and grovel for your alleged offence, and then you may be allowed back, or you may not. This is what happened to me. I more or less given up doing it because of the frustrations of it, but I engaged in a particular article in which I had a personal interest, which was on a subject which I've discussed on this programme, the smearing of the late Bishop George Bell. And the consequence of it was that an administrator descended from on high on some sort of wiki parachute and immediately blocked me, as the term goes, so I couldn't make any further edits, and also so I couldn't defend myself on various pages where these things are discussed. It was like Kafka without the jokes. And at the end of it, I was told that the only thing I could do was apologize, and then they might consider at some point giving me a temporary reprieve. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. And so it's goodbye. I shan't be there again. So if you imagine that all you need to edit Wikipedia is a bit of knowledge and a bit of goodwill, then you're very, very much mistaken.
Yeah. Well, Wikipedia has been very, very useful to me in my research. People laugh, but as you point out in the article you've written at the Daily Mail, which we will post at ericmetaxas.com on the Twitter feed, you point out that it can be very, very useful as one begins one's research. In other words, you don't want to rely on it, but it can be very useful in finding your bearings and getting your bearings.
Oh, extremely. But what it needs is a rival to make it more honest. The problem with it is that it treats a number of controversial subjects. And I won't name them on this occasion because it that would make it more complicated. But it treats a number of very controversial subjects as if they were settled.
I'm guessing global warming would be one.
I have to say I would imagine that that's quite likely, but I mean there are others which concern me, which are where I have had difficulties in trying to get into the article an admission that there is a controversy, and that seems to me to be quite wrong, to pretend that something is settled when it's not. The BBC in Britain has a very similar problem. It treats an awful lot of major issues as if they were settled when they're not. I wouldn't mind. I mean, a bit of bias, you know, you can expect people to have it. But simply to say that the matter is closed, and not merely to say that it's closed, but if anybody tries to reopen it, to silence them by bureaucratic diktat, which is what happens to you on Wikipedia, is wrong. So I use Wikipedia. I'll carry on using it, but with even more caution than before. It's pretty good on Second World War warships. It's very good on trees. It's quite good on anything where the matter is settled and where the people who've written the article have no axe to grind. But otherwise, it's only really a starting point. And often, as long as you treat it like that, you can continue to use it perfectly safely. But if you actually treat it as if it is an encyclopedia genuinely dedicated to trying to establish an impartial view of any subject and prepared to reflect real controversies, then look elsewhere.
Well, I only have experience with my own page. If you put Eric Metaxas into Wikipedia, there were one or two horrible, horrible articles written about my Bonhoeffer book when it first came out by Bonhoeffer scholars with a particular axe to grind. Very, very ad hominem. You know, you read it and you know right away these people are angry. And no matter what we do, those always have a significant place on the Wikipedia page. It's as if, you know, there were five articles written and these were three of them, even though there were two. And it's as much as you try to change it or whatever, and there are many other things. So anybody who's listening who edits Wikipedia, I can always use help on my Wikipedia page because there's some people who obviously don't like me. And now, you know what? We're out of time. We'll be right back talking to Peter Hitchens about Wikipedia and other things. Alvin, have I told you about Patricia from Michigan?
No,
yeah,
tell
well,
me.
She,
tell me.
She's got something in common with me. We both take Relief Factor.
Great.
And it works for us if you have all kinds of pain. Anyway, here she is.
At one time, I was in constant pain in my knees and hips. I'm 72 years old and thought, that's what happens when you get old. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio shows. To my surprise and relief, it took away my hurt. I can get out of bed easier in the morning, and even damp and rainy days don't bother me as much. I started out taking 3 doses per day, but now only take 2. Thank you, Relief Factor, for letting me know about this wonderful product.
Ha! See?
Yeah.
It works for her, works for me, works for Dennis Prager, works for Hugh Hewitt. It works for a lot of people, radio hosts, non-radio hosts. Seriously, go to ReliefFactor.com. You get the quick start pack for $19.95. That's 3 weeks worth, and most of the people who order that, by far 80%, reorder it because it works. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com.
Sleep. Without sleep, your soul feels tortured. You feel exhausted, groggy, even numb. You need rest. I'm with Faithful Counseling, and I'm here to help. Our team of licensed Christian counselors want to help you get through this so you can get some rest, so that you can sleep. We can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. I'd like to help you by giving you your first week free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. I encourage you to try Faithful Counseling. We're here when you need us most, even when you can't sleep. Let's talk. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. We really want to help you. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Patriot Mobile is the only conservative cell phone company in the nation that fights for your values. They partner with over 15 conservative organizations like Gun Owners of America, the Heritage Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony List, and more to promote conservative change. Patriot Mobile takes a portion of your bill and contributes it back to these organizations at no extra cost to you. Support conservative causes that you believe in and switch to Patriot Mobile's nationwide super fast, super reliable network. Unlimited talk and text plans start at $20 a month. Plus, you can save on select iPhones starting at only $4 a month. At this great value, one size doesn't have to fit all. Pick one that's right for you and for your budget. They also have great deals on Android phones. Hurry and join Patriot Mobile. This offer is valid while supplies last. Make the switch today by visiting or calling 1-800-A-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Start making conservative change happen every time you use your cell phone.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Peter Hitchens, who is across the pond in merry old England. And Peter, I've really got to ask you, are you familiar with the work of Neil Sedaka?
No.
No? What about laughter?
Not knowingly.
Is Laughter in the Rain something that appeals to you, generally speaking?
I mean, Laughter in the Rain sounds to be a perfectly acceptable idea and concept, but I don't, if you mean, do I know... a song of that name. No. On the other hand, I often find out that I have, in fact, been listening to songs by people I've never heard of. when somebody says on some compilation program, well, this such and such a song is by such and such a person and is called such and such a thing. And I realized that I have, in fact, heard it in the background music of life many times, but never known what it was.
So
I might quite possibly have heard it, but I don't. If you ask me what it was and what it sounded like, I don't have the faintest idea.
So everyone ought to have heard of the sealed train containing Lennon, but not of, for example, Neil Sedaka.
Well, I didn't say everybody ought to have heard it. It would be good if they had, but I felt I could safely assume was that you would have heard of it.
And I would have assumed you would have heard of Neil Sedaka, and we would both have been wrong.
If I had to rate the importance of those two, I would definitely put the Sealed Train above Neil Sedaka.
You clearly don't know enough about Neil Sedaka to make a comment like that.
Well, you clearly don't know enough about the Sealed Train, and that's really where we have to leave it on that controversy, I think.
Okay, so getting back to Wikipedia, what is one to do? Because what you say about Wikipedia, it's like political correctness run amok. It's kind of like Bolshevists run amok. I mean, these people are they don't believe in democracy. They don't seem to believe in freedom. What do you think?
Oh, I think if you put that to any of them, they say, no, we're very democratic and we have these rules, and they would also reject the political correctness thing, as politically correct people invariably do, because they don't think they're politically correct. They think that they are progressive.
They believe in egalitarianism, which is different from Republican democracy.
Egalitarianism is, of course, the enemy of freedom. But one of the things that I did in attempting to defend myself after I'd been banned was you're allowed to send a defense to the authorities who've banned you. But they're equally allowed completely to reject it. And after sending two defenses to them, in which they were plainly not interested, I just sent them quite a large chunk from the Bill of Rights about the normal rules for trying people charged with offences. And they rejected that as well.
From the American Bill of Rights, obviously.
The American and the English are almost identical.
Really?
On this, and the American Bill of Rights is largely based upon the 1689 English Bill of Rights, and they have much in common. Though the American one is clearer and concentrates into one place the requirements for a fair trial. So I did, in fact, on that occasion, quote from the American one, but it wouldn't have been that different.
All right, and I'm now.
We have that very much in common.
Now I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Whom shall we speak about next? Theresa May or Omarosa Manigault?
I think, from my point of view, Theresa May, because I know more about her.
Okay, let's talk about Theresa May. Although
not much,
I think
but a bit.
It has to do with your racism, but let's talk about Theresa May if you would, if you insist.
I'm not insisting. No.
What is it about Theresa May that you'd like to talk about?
Well, her extraordinary survival, really. I don't want to be personally rude, because I'm sure that she is a kind and pleasant and dutiful and in many ways extremely virtuous person who's in private life has much to be said for her. But as a politician, she has been more or less wholly colorless, without any obvious opinions or desires, and has become prime minister principally because of what she isn't, rather than because of what she is, and because of what she doesn't believe, rather than because of what she does. So effectively, there is at the center of British politics more or less an empty space. And the astonishing thing is that she's survived. That someone who really doesn't have any particular ambitions or desires or any particular political skills, she's a pretty poor public speaker. She doesn't appear well on television. She has almost everything running against her, but she has survived because British politics at the moment doesn't want at its center anybody decisive or forceful, because British politics is in such a crisis that to some extent what it needs at the moment is someone like Theresa May who is forceful for nothing.
All right, let's talk then about Tommy Robinson. Anything you want to say about Tommy Robinson?
Well, I would only refer people to an article published by my own sister paper, The Daily Mail, last Saturday, which will probably almost certainly be available on Mail Online, about Mr. Robinson, so-called, whose actual name is Mr. Yaxley Lennon. And you can then look at the facts about this person and see whether you really think that he ought to be placed at the pinnacle of any kind of political movement or assisted into being politically prominent. I personally don't think so. As I say, I don't want to go into the details about his past and indeed his present, which are set out in the article, because I don't have it in front of me, and I wouldn't want to make any mistakes about it. But I think that some people in the United States may have been perhaps slightly misled about the nature of the person that they're supporting, and they should check what.
But you don't think that Theresa May ought to have stepped in a little bit about his imprisonment? That it was.
We have in our country the separation of powers. I believe you have it too, in which the executive branch has no control whatsoever or any business.
They have a bully pulpit.
They have no business intervening. They should not attempt.
They shouldn't use the bully pulpit in these cases.
It would be constitutionally outrageous if members of the government, members of parliament or the cabinet, actually intervene in cases before the court.
You know, it dawns on me, Peter. We're just about out of time. I thought we'd.
What's a pity about that?
It is a pity, but we're going to have you back as soon as possible to talk about your new book. I would love to have you on, in fact, before that, so we can release the interview the day the book comes out. Congratulations on that book. I look forward to talking to you about it. We're going to listen to a little Electric Light Orchestra in honor of Peter Hitchens. Peter, thank you.
The longest stock market bull run in history has been fueled by easy credit that is now tightening. Just like the dot-com and housing bubbles of 2000-2008, the current everything bubble is ready to burst. Don't get caught in the aftermath again. In preparation for the coming collapse, retirement expert Adam Baratta has just released a new book called Gold is a Better Way and Other Wealth-Building Secrets Wall Street Doesn't Want You to Know. See why thousands of books have already been shipped and why it's been listed as a number one new arrival in its category on Amazon for weeks. To order your copy of the Gold is a Better Way book and receive access to the number one gold education member platform in the world, text the word GOLD to 49776. Gold is a Better Way reveals the insider information Wall Street doesn't want you to know that could save your retirement. Just text GOLD to 49776. Text the word GOLD to 49776 now to reserve your book and free access to the Gold is a Better Way platform. It's time for a return to wisdom. Join the movement. Text the word GOLD to 49776. Standard text and messaging rates apply.
If you could interview God,
why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
What would you ask?
So what do I tell the people who say you don't exist?
Tell them the world they see is just that, and sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Starring Academy Award nominee David Strathairn and Brenton Thwaites.
We try to be good people, try to please you, and we need some answers. And where did you go? Do you have any idea how that feels?
An Interview with God, a 3-night event in select theaters, August 20th, 21st, and 22nd only. For theaters and tickets, go to aninterviewwithgod.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
You know, Alvin, I cannot believe that that Peter Hitchens is unfamiliar with Neil Sedaka. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's shameful.
Where is he?
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
He needs to wake up and read a book.
Yeah, wake up.
Read a book,
man.
Friend. Gosh, Neil Sedaka is like, he's the legend. Okay, we have to have Peter Hitchens on more often, and we will, because he's incredible, despite his really painful and cringe-inducing ignorance of pop culture. The fact that he didn't have anything to say in Omarosa, oh my gosh, what is he thinking?
Where is he?
What is he thinking?
I know.
Okay, so we... we've got to talk about food for the poor. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our campaign because we, for whatever reason, we haven't yet raised our goal of $36,000. I think yesterday we raised about $1,000, so we are really creeping along
here.
Now, by the way, that being said, to those of you who have given, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes.
We are so grateful to you for doing that. And you know that this is for one of the greatest causes there is. These kids are really suffering, and this is an easy way for us to step up and to help them. We said that $50, I mean, it's amazing. I can never get over this, that $50, 50 American dollars, can feed a kid for a year. We've actually got a clip that I want to play for somebody who works with Food for the Poor. Here we go.
In Port-au-Prince, we have one main center where we provide over 15,000 meals per day. So people could go with their buckets and get rice and beans and some proteins, other protein source, whether it's beef or chicken or some vegetables in a stew and given to them, and they'll take it home to feed maybe 5, 7, maybe 9 people in their household. And this happens from Monday to Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, you hear that, and that
I know.
We're talking buckets of food. Sheesh. Well, folks,
yes.
They need your help, and we'd love you to call the number. I'll give that in a moment. Or you can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. People seem to prefer to go to the website, metaxastalk.com, because every time you visit, you get a free pack of cigarettes. But and I don't know what people do. They sell them. But the point is that if you go to metaxastalk.com, you'll see the banner to mm-hmm. give to Food for the Poor. It's very easy to do. I'll give the phone number in a minute here. But if you give $50, we send you 4 Eric Metaxas Show bumper stickers. These are gorgeous, huge
mm-hmm.
bumper stickers. People, when they even when they glimpse them on a speeding car,
mm-hmm.
they weep openly
they do.
At the beauty. They don't even know, what is it that touched my soul that
why?
Just flew by?
Why?
It's the bumper sticker.
They question, why?
Well, it's the design. It's just that beautiful. The colors themselves are enough
mm-hmm.
to really
yeah.
prick one's heart. So if you give $50, you get that. We need someone to give a lot of money. Otherwise, we'll never make our goal. I hope there's somebody out there who maybe wants to come visit us in the studio. We're doing that for $500. For $1,000, you can visit twice. For $10,000, you can be my producer. And honestly, it's incredible. And Albin, I know that you wouldn't mind stepping aside.
Definitely.
Now, we've got so much to share in Hour 2. We'll be right back with Hour 2. We're talking to Jonathan Merritt.
Yes.
That's going to be amazing. He's very politically liberal, strong Christian. By the way, here's the number, folks, 844-330-HOPE, 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 844-330-HOPE.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.